puts me back in Manitoba many moons ago.
It's time once again for Abandoned Manitoba, where we check in with Gordon Goldsboro from the Manitoba Historical Society. Good morning, Gordon.
Good morning, Keisha.
What are we discussing this week?
Well, the first village in Manitoba settled by Jewish farmers, now long abandoned, is widely believed to have been a place called Bender Hamlet. It's located in the Interlake. But it turns out there was another settlement that preceded Bender by several years. This week, we're visiting the ghost town of Gruber. And we're going to consider the question, when is a hamlet not a hamlet? Oh, we might even say to be or not to be. But it has nothing to do with Shakespeare and everything to do with land settlement legislation in Canada, specifically the Dominion Lands Act of 1872.
What is this legislation?
It dictated the conditions under which a man could obtain, at no cost, 160 acres of farmland in Western Canada. There were three main conditions that were intended to dissuade land speculators. First, the man had to live on the land for at least 6 months every year for 3 years. The second was that he had to build a habitable dwelling in which to reside. And the third, he had to convert several acres into farmland and to grow crops on part of that land. This legislation also contained something that was called the Hamlet Clause.
And Gordon, you say this has nothing to do with Shakespeare, right?
Nope. No, we mean Hamlet in the sense of a small village. The Dominion Lands Act contained a provision that allowed people from particular religious groups, groups such as Mennonites, Dukhobors, and Jews, who preferred to settle in groups, to do so, rather than live on their individual 160-acre parcels. Now, there had to be at least 20 families in the hamlet, and they did have to farm the land. And that meant that a settler might have to live several miles away from his land. And this meant not only a lot of walking back and forth, in the case of Jewish settlers, several additional problems.
What were they?
Well, the earliest Jewish settlers in Western Canada tended to settle in urban areas where it was easier to keep kosher, to attend synagogue on the Sabbath, to give one's children a Jewish education, and to have a sufficiently large community that their children could find a marital partner within their faith. Now, all of these things were harder to do in rural areas where Jews were widely dispersed. It was also hard to hold religious services that required a minyan. We talked about that a few weeks back. A minyan is a quorum of 10 adult males that you need to have for religious services. It was also hard to find a trained person to perform ritual circumcisions in rural Manitoba. And therefore, a hamlet, a grouping of at least 20 families, was a potential solution to all these problems. In the 1880s and early 1890s, Jewish farm hamlets were established at several places in Saskatchewan. It's widely believed that the first Jewish hamlet in Manitoba was established near Narses by a fellow named Jacob Bender, and that took place in 1903. But it turns out that the first one had occurred 4 years earlier.
And this is what you described earlier as the ghost town of Gruber.
Right. It was established in 1899 by a fellow named Eliezer Gruber, a 57-year-old Jew from northwestern Ukraine, near the border with Poland. Gruber had lived in London, England for several years, and there he had acquired an excellent command of English, in addition to his native Ukrainian, and both those languages served him in good stead in his plans here in Manitoba. He moved to New York City in the 1890s from his homeland and eventually then relocated to Winnipeg in 1898, where he became intent on establishing a farming community somewhere in Manitoba. And in fact, he was going to name it after himself, and hence the name Gruber.
And where was Gruber located?
Well, by the time that Gruber arrived here, most of the desirable farmland areas had already been settled. So he selected land near Lake Winnipegosis, a couple of miles from today's town of Winnipegosis. The 160-acre parcel that he selected did have a couple of notable features. One was that it was traversed by the newly constructed Canadian Northern Railway line between Sifton and Winnipegosis. This was definitely an advantage in making it easier to move people and supplies to the site. The second was that it was traversed by the Mossy River. Now, on one hand, this meant that there was a ready supply of water, but on the other, it also meant that much of the surrounding land was low-lying and swampy. Many of the early settlers described the land as being very stony, too, and not especially well-suited to farming.
Interesting. Can you tell me more about who were the settlers of Gruber?
Well, Gruber intended to take advantage of the Hamlet Clause for his community. He divided the land into 20 lots to fulfill the requirement of at least 20 families needed to create a hamlet. He began recruiting for his hamlet from the Jewish community of Winnipeg. Few of his settlers, though, had any previous agricultural experience. You know, there were peddlers, there were traders, there were furriers, vegetable dealers, carpenters, but not a lot of farmers. Nevertheless, in May of 1899, several Jewish families arrived at the Gruber railway station, along with some ethnic Ukrainians who Gruber had also recruited because, of course, say he knew Ukrainian from his original homeland. The closest farmland that the settlers began to clear was a half mile from the hamlet site. That's not too bad, but the furthest site away was 8.5 miles. That's a long walk.
It certainly is. Did Gruber thrive during that time?
Well, by 1903, there were 16 homes at Gruber, along with a post office and a small store. But there was no synagogue, there was no community hall, or maybe more importantly, there was no Jewish school for those children. There was a secular school that had been built at Gruber in 1900, but there was not much to entice Jewish settlers. And there was an even bigger problem. The hamlet did not meet one very important criterion. It wasn't a hamlet. In order to meet the requirements of the Hamlet Clause in the Act, the federal government had to designate the community formally as a hamlet. And it turned out that Eliezer Gruber had never sought designation for his community. So the land that Jewish farmers had spent several years cultivating did not have someone living on it. That's because they were living together in the community of Gruber, potentially several miles away, and they therefore could not be considered have fulfilled the requirements of the Act. The land they had cleared was considered abandoned and in some cases could be given to other settlers.
Oh my goodness. Gordon, what happened?
Well, after investigating the case, federal civil servants took pity on the Jewish settlers of Gruber and they expedited the granting of the Hamlet Clause to that community in November of 1904. Unfortunately, it was too little, too late. You know, many of the Jewish settlers, they'd been dissuaded by the stoniness of the land, by the fact that they had to walk so far, the fact that they didn't have a lot of the amenities that they needed for their culture. Well, they began returning to Winnipeg, and by 1907, all of them were gone. Only the Ukrainian settlers who didn't have an urban connection to which they could retreat, they didn't know anybody in Winnipeg to move there, they remained in the area. And by 1913, only a few buildings remained at the site of Gruber. And today, well, as far as I know, there's nothing left there.
And what happened, Gordon, to Mr. Gruber?
It turns out that Gruber was not his only attempt at Jewish land settlement. In 1904, 5 years after establishing Gruber, he sought to acquire land in southeastern Manitoba, near Sprague. By this time, the federal government was wise to Gruber, and they wanted nothing more to do with him, and so his proposal was rejected. The Hamlet Clause of the Dominion Lands Act was formally withdrawn in 1908, and this squelched any further attempts to establish communal farming based on religion, at least until the coming of the Hutterites in 1919. Eliezer Gruber, well, he died in Winnipeg in 1919, and he was buried in what has been described as the most imposing mausoleum in the Sherrysettick Cemetery.
What an interesting story.
Yes, and I must give a big shout out to Dr. John Lair. He's a retired historical geographer. He's the one that has corrected the historical record about the first Jewish farming community in Manitoba. It's not Bender Hamlet. It was Gruber Hamlet.
Totally fascinating. You know, Gordon, I'm wondering if you can give us a hint about next week's episode.
Next week, we're going to discuss the mysterious death in 1946, possibly by murder, of a farmer near Deloraine. We don't usually deal with true crime here in Abandoned Manitoba, but we'll make an exception in this case because abandonment does figure into it.
Very cool. Can't wait to get into it.
Talk next week. Bye-bye for now.
No matter where I go, every time the wind blows, puts me back in Manitoba many moons ago.